Good morning, everyone. So during Advent, we've been decking the halls with hope, peace, and joy. And it's my privilege this morning to complete the Advent series as we look at decking the halls with love, which is the most important of these. So let us pray. Father God, we're living in turbulent times, but we are so thankful that you love us, and that doesn't change, and you don't change yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same. You never change. And we just ask you to help us hear your word this morning clearly and have some impact in our lives. Amen. Has everyone heard of the Beatles, the group, music group? I don't think some people are being quite honest. I could understand if a bit younger, but anyway. So in 1967, the Beatles, who are a really famous group from Liverpool, most people will have heard of them, they were asked to take part in a project called Our World, and it was this worldwide TV special, and it was broadcast in 24 countries, and it was 6 hours long. And it would feature music from six continents. And the Beatles were representing Great Britain. And they were asked to do a song that would be understood by people of all nations. And it was decided that a song written by John Lennon would be used. So I'll say part of the song and you can finish it. The song was called All You Need Is... Only we had a trumpet to play that next bit. And this song was chosen because of its easy-to-understand message of love. It was easy to play. The words were easy to remember. Very simple. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. And the whole world recognizes the importance of love. And it's estimated that there are 100 million songs written about love. And I'm sure we all know quite a few of them. And this Christmas story that Judith read this morning is full of love. So we're going to look a bit deeper into it. So at the point of this story, Mary is about 4 months pregnant. She spent 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth, but now returns to Nazareth, where she was found to be pregnant. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married before Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. But that didn't mean that he loved her, because in those days, marriages were arranged for mainly social or economic reasons, and not romantic ones. But now, as far as Joseph knew, Mary had been unfaithful to him. Why would he think anything else? So he had every reason to be angry and upset with Mary. And you can imagine what those around him would be saying. So he had to make a decision. He had to decide what to do. He could have married Mary and brought up the child as his, but he was a righteous man, and he would need to do what was right with God. He could have taken Mary to a tribunal for adultery, where at the very least she would be publicly disgraced and by law possibly even stoned to death. Remembering at this time that Joseph was only likely to have been in his late teens, that's an incredibly hard decision that he would have to make, and it would take courage. Verses 18 and 19, and these are from the New Revised Standard Version, tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly." So the only option that would allow Joseph to maintain his personal righteousness according to the law and yet save Mary from public disgrace and possible death was to divorce her quietly. So Joseph thought about what was best, not just for himself, but for Mary, choosing the way that would cause the least amount of shame to her. And when we make a decision, we need to consider whether our decision might affect our loved ones and other people in our lives, not just ourselves. In these COVID times, lots of people are having to make difficult decisions of not seeing loved ones over Christmas. And I know some people were making those decisions before the further restrictions were made yesterday. And the reason is people haven't seen grandparents. I've got a friend who's, I've got a granddaughter, they've not seen her, you know. But because we love people, we love our families, we love our friends, we want to keep them safe. And Joseph was struggling to make the right decision for Mary and himself. And sometimes love requires us to make difficult decisions and to hope that we're doing the right thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says that love always protects. And we can see that Joseph protected Mary by deciding to quietly divorce her. And the story continues, verse 20. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you have to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God's angel appeared to Joseph when he was afraid to marry Mary, and he gave Joseph the courage to be Jesus' earthly father. And it's God's love for us that gives us the strength and the courage to do the things that we have to do. God was there for Joseph when he was struggling that night and gave him the name for this new child, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And how comforting it is just even saying that statement right now, God with us. God with us. And God is with us in any and every situation, and gives us the courage to step up, to choose love, even when love is not the easiest choice. Perhaps for social reason, like in Joseph and Mary's case, or personal or other reasons. And we should also know in this story the amazing courage of Mary, whose life and the life of the very child she was carrying was at stake. You know, her honor, her reputation, everything was on the line. But she was devoted to God and believed the word of the Lord that had come to her from an angel. And they called his name Jesus, which meant the salvation of Yahweh, the salvation of God. So what a powerful, everlasting gift of love that the Son of God would be given for our salvation when we didn't deserve it. So God sent Jesus into the world because he loves us. John 3, verse 16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So what do we think that love is? All you need is love. Love is all you need. It's easy, says the song. Is it just a feeling, as the songs and movies would have us believe? Well, the Bible gives us a description of love in action. And it's something that the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends at a church in Corinth a couple of thousand years ago. Most people will be familiar with Corinthians chapter 13, but how can you do a talk about love and not include it? And it begins at verse 1, and Paul writes, I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And there are three different types of love spoken about in the New Testament. The first is the love between a man and a woman, and the Greek word there is eros, which from English we get words like erotic. Don't need to explain that one. But that's not the sort of love Paul is talking about here. And the next sort of love the New Testament speaks about is a bond of friendship. And again, the Greek word is phileo. And that isn't the sort of love that Paul is talking about here either. It's the third one, agape, which is like a deep, unconditional love, which is the love God has for us. And whenever the Bible speaks about God's love for us, it is invariably talking about this kind of agape, unconditional love. The sort of love that accepts you for who you are, no matter what, no matter what you look like, no matter if you're grumpy. I love dogs, and I always think that you get unconditional love from a dog. If you have a dog, you might understand what I mean. And our dog is a Labrador, and she's blind, and she's going a bit deaf as well. And when I come downstairs from working upstairs, working from home, she makes an effort to negotiate where she can't see and come and find me. And she did this the other night, and you know, she's nudging your leg, and I was thinking it was so nice. But then I realized I'd opened the fridge, and she's a Labrador, and with Labradors, food is the love before the person, but it's still a kind of unconditional love. And the sort of love that God is speaking to us about here through the Apostle Paul is unconditional love. And he begins by making the point that it doesn't matter how clever you are, how gifted, tolerant, generous we are. Without unconditional love, we are nothing. And these beautiful few verses, I think those verses are far more beautiful than all you need is love. Love is all you need. These beautiful verses are what love actually is. It's patient, it's kind, it's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. And I think just hearing those words should challenge us all about how we love. Because if you could imagine, if someone loved you in this way, with patience and kindness, and not insisting on their own way, and not being grumpy or irritable or resentful, and believing for the best of you, and bearing all your problems, and enduring with you through everything, would that make a difference in your life? And if someone was to share the burdens of your life every step of the way and never accused you or judged you or had a go at you and were never overly critical, would that make a difference in your life? Does it sound impossible? Well, the good news, there's good news. The good news is that Jesus is that person. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is the one with that sort of unconditional love, who was and is the Son of God, is the same one that came into the world and made himself nothing for our sakes. And rather than insisting on his rights, he humbly draws alongside us in our life journey to lighten the burden so that we can discover his love. And not just as a matter of historical fact, but a real life, practical, day-to-day experience, Emmanuel, God with us. So how do we experience that love? Well, we do need to spend some time with Jesus every day by praying, reading his word, listening. And this can help us face whatever we have to deal with on a daily basis, whether that's at work, whether that's at home, whether we have to go to a hospital appointment, whether it's in relationships, no matter what. God is with us and nothing can separate us from his love. These are the words, the wonderful words from Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen to that. And the Bible makes it clear that there is a connection between God's love for us and for us loving one another. John 1:4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and in his love is perfected in us. And we saw Jesus' display for the love throughout his ministry. And as humans, we tend to love those who are easy to love. We kind of associate love with like, and maybe like first and then love, but we find it more difficult when people are not like us. We find it more difficult to love people who are maybe marginalized. But Jesus' love included everybody. He didn't leave anybody out. He included criminals, the thief on the cross, the people that were unclean, that did not keep all the cleanliness laws and rituals, the people who were outcast, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, the poor, the sick, lepers, women who didn't have... they had a lowly place in the society at the time. And the list goes on. And even while on the cross, Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of the ones who had placed him there. Salvation is open to all who believe in Christ. And God's love does not discriminate against anyone. So, to end, remember, God loves you enough to help you in your time of need. He loves you enough to give you the courage and strength that you need. And he loves you so much that he would make such a great sacrifice in giving the gift of love, which is Jesus, to save you and me. God helped Joseph find the courage to make the hard decision to be the father to Jesus. And God loves us so much that he gives us all we need, even when it comes at such a great cost. So just some questions to think about to end. How is God trying to help you in your life today? Is there a decision, a difficult decision you're having to make that God can help you with? Will you accept God's love? And finally, how will you share that love with us? Maybe in the coming year when we can meet people again, maybe we can be thinking about people who we don't know very well, getting to know them better, and not just a brief conversation at the end of church, but actually making an effort to get to know people better and sharing God's love. Amen.